Well, God, morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We have begun a series teaching on the epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians. We went through chapter 1 last week, and we're probably going to go back to it because it's so important. As we said last week, this is Paul's impassioned letter to the churches of Galatia, which he himself, by the grace of God, had founded. In this letter, he's going to tell them, you know, you have many teachers, but only one Father. And someone has come in and sown discord in this family of God that Paul had established, or better put, was establishing. I think it necessary to have a little historical context for what we're about to get into. I'd have you understand some timelines, if you will. In the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, we read of the apostles' conversion as he's on the road to Damascus to persecute the church. He is stopped and captured by Jesus that he might preach the gospel, the good news of God to the Gentiles. Authorities would have us understand that this took place about the year 35 AD, 2 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, immediately of that day to call me by his grace, it says in the 15th verse, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. That means timeline, called apostles before this 35 AD date. But I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the brother of the Lord, I would say so-called. We don't need to get into that question today. Paul says now, the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. After that 15-day meeting in Jerusalem, Paul went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. Nobody in Judea knew him by face. He says, then, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem. So we have now Paul's conversion, 35 AD, 38 AD, he goes up to Jerusalem, meets with Peter. Then 14 years later, he goes back. What brought Paul's return after 14 years to Jerusalem? We need to go to the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. Paul is in Antioch, and he is preaching and teaching the gospel. And in the midst of this, 15th chapter opens and says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Why is Paul sending this letter to Galatians? Because some are purporting to preach another gospel. And Paul is really upset. He goes on in the 15th, it goes on in the 15th chapter of Acts and says, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, that with them they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now, in Acts, we're getting a report. In Galatians, we're getting Paul's personal viewpoint. It says, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But, I was taught that whenever you see the thens and the theirs and the buts, you ought to pay attention. Fifth verse. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel, the good news, and believe. That is faith. And God, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Peter goes on and says, now therefore, why tempt ye God and put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Are you listening to these words, folks? I hope so. But we faith through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Now I'm giving you the insight, or Luke, the writer of the Acts, is giving us an insight into what's going on in this meeting. Then the 13th verse, it says, and after that they had held their peace, James, that guy James, answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, or Peter, hath declared how that God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And he goes on and he quotes some scripture. And he says, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all, the Lord who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my, James speaking, my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. Now, listen closely. Listen closely. But, you know, God who doeth all things. But, he says, but, in the masthead of the God School, it says, Jesus Christ saves without the buts. However, James writes, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Then it pleased the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch, back to Antioch, where they first came and said, you know, to be saved, you had to be circumcised. With Paul and Barnabas, and with Judas and Silas, chief among the brethren. And here's what the letter that they sent back with them, it said. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if you keep yourselves, ye shall do well. I hope I'm able to communicate this. Now, we talked about dates. So this trouble in Antioch is dated about 51 BC. This first church council takes place 52 BC, or AD, excuse me. Paul's letter to these Galatians is dated at 58 AD. So Paul is writing this letter to the churches which he founded in Galatia. He's writing the letter 6 years after this meeting. I just want to point a couple things out. You know, Peter, by the Holy Spirit, preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 were born in the church. We read in the second chapter of the book of Acts. We'll also read in this same book of Acts how Peter in whom there's no dispute, had the Holy Ghost. But when God wants him to go to the Gentiles, Peter starts arguing with God.
Ever live to proclaim that gift of the Comforter to those who are faithing, and that a gift of God in Jesus Christ and God our Father. But it doesn't make us right all the time. And this reporting in Acts of Peter's encounter with the house with God over the house of Cornelius, where Peter says, I'm not going. Go read it for yourselves. It's in the, I believe it's in the 10th chapter. Let me just confirm that for you. The 10th chapter of the book of Acts. And here, you know, What does it say? In the 28th verse of this 15th chapter, it says, James writing, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost." To us. Like God needs our opinion? No, he doesn't. He's looking for those who are acting on the reality, the truth of his word. And it doesn't measure up what he's saying here, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." Where did Jesus say these, in addition to the gospel, are necessary things? I'll answer the question, he doesn't. And what they are attempting to lay on these Gentile Christians, which is total BS, folks, are the Levitical laws out of the 17th and 18th chapter of the book of Leviticus. So now we're going to get Paul's account of the of his perspective of that first church council. "Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." Paul just wanted to go up and confirm what he'd been preaching. Now listen. "But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, but because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." You know what he's saying here? Some of these guys snuck into the John and were checking Titus out to see whether he was circumcised, to see whether he be saved. Why? "That they might bring us into bondage." Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth. Ye shall know the reality, and the reality shall set you free." No bondage. Paul's response to this surreptitious and this heretical act on the part of some that were in Jerusalem He says, to whom we gave place by subjection? No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Don, why are you so impassioned about this? I'm impassioned like Paul's impassioned. Before his ascension, Jesus gave a command. And he said, go into the whole world and preach the gospel. Which is the power of God unto salvation. And I'm afraid, as I survey as much as can be surveyed, the church today, that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, is not being preached. It's some other gospel, which Paul says is not another. To whom we gave place by subjection? No, not for an hour, that the reality of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, the word being translated somewhat is dokio. It means to have an opinion. And God's not interested in our opinions. He's interested in that which His Son did for us. And our response of praise and thanksgiving for what Jesus has done, and that spark, that peace, if you will, of eternity, of God's life in us, might continue in us. His grace, unmerited favor, as we journey toward that eternal city whose builder and founder is God. It's God's eternal purpose. And so much of what's purported to be a gospel today has a temporal purpose. And temporal things pass away. But these who seem to have some opinion, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, Paul says, God accepts no person. For they who seemed in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, as the gospel of circumcision was committed unto Peter. I'm sorry, there ain't two gospels, folks. One gospel. One God spiel. One God. And His Word. Paul just says, you know, he goes on in the ninth verse of this second chapter of Galatians, and it says, and when James and Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. They couldn't defeat Paul, so they just said, okay, Paul, here, good luck, go your way, we'll go our way. Now, he says, but, and I'm telling you that, but, in the 20th verse of the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, is a scary but. Because it has dominated the church for 2,000 years. And it's something that's added to the gospel. It's another gospel. It's not the gospel that the Apostle Paul, who is responsible for the writings of 2/3 of the New Testament, he dominates the New Covenant. That the righteous by faith shall live. Paul dominates. But it wasn't so in Paul's day. Now, we're going to talk about this Holy Ghost-filled Peter again. 11th verse, 2nd chapter. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. He was blameworthy. He was worthy of blame. Paul's going to tell a story. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. Yeah, I remember one day in the museum talking to a gentleman who considered himself to be well-versed in the scriptures, and we got into a discussion of between James and Paul, and I said, you can't reconcile them. Oh, yeah, I could do it. And I told him about this confrontation that Peter had, or that Paul had with Peter, and the controversy was brought about from certain that came from James. And he said, what are you talking about? And I took him to the verse 12 of the second chapter of Galatians, and He was shaking in his boots after years of being in the scriptures. And I have no doubt, to some extent, being led of the Lord. But he was shaken to his boots when we looked at this 12th verse. For he was blameworthy, because before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. He wasn't asking any questions. Where did this come from? Did it come? Was it offered to idols? Was it choked in the marketplace? He didn't ask any of those questions. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And other of the Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas is Paul's partner in the gospel of Jesus Christ, who had traveled with Paul years and years and suffered with Paul and was persecuted with Paul. Insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, the reality of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, you are sitting down eating, not asking any questions, and not as the Jew, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? One gospel, folks, not to the uncircumcised and circumcised. Paul tells us of a benefit in this Christian walk. He says that we're circumcised without hands by Jesus Christ. Paul, in his rebuke of Peter, that Holy Ghost Pentecost preaching, arguing with God over Cornelius, agreeing with Paul at the council, however, allowing the butt of James to be included in the letter sent out to the Gentile churches, who's enjoying himself with the Gentiles here, but when he sees those of the circumcision come, he withdrew himself, withdrew and separated himself. Now Paul gets to the heart of the matter. He says, Peter, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have faith in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Let me read that again. Knowing that a man is not made just like God by the works of the law, but by the faith of, listen, faith of, not faith in, faith of. It's what God provides to us. Even the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have faith in Jesus Christ that we might be made just like God by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be made just like God. Let me read it another way. Knowing, and this is the root of the Greek words being translated here, justified. Knowing that a man is not righteousified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have faith in Jesus Christ that we might be righteousified, that is the righteousness of God, that we might be righteousified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be righteousified. But if, here's a but if, while we seek to be righteousified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't make any secret about it. I'm not proud of it. I would that it were other, but the one speaking to you today is a sinner, as every one of you who's hearing me is a sinner. And Christianity, not a religion, but a relationship with God in Christ Jesus, teaches that we are now dual persons. The old man, full of hamartia, that's the word the English translates, that's the Greek word that the English translates sin in the New Testament. Full of shortfallenness, and by faith, new creatures in Christ. A paradox. We ourselves are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor.
Paul's speaking plainly here. For through the law, for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. There's the paradox.
Paul will say in the Romans letter, you know, reckon yourselves dead to the law, but alive unto God.
Paul says it here, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, wait a minute. How do you crucified and live at the same time? Christ died at the crucifixion. Some would say, well, he really didn't die. He was resuscitated. No. He died. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. He was raised again on the third day by God, our Father. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. This is what the flesh can do. It can live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me . Can you, will you say that with me? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. No buts here. Praise God. Thank God. Have no doubt in the reality of the good news of Jesus Christ. He says, I do not frustrate the unmerited favor of God. For if righteousness, same word being translated in the 16th verse, same root, if righteousness by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. But he did not die in vain. And he's vindicated by God our Father, who raised him from the dead, whom Paul tells us shall quicken our mortal bodies, that we may be fashioned like unto him. And that's the God School for today. We'll pick it up next week. If you've heard this message, get on the godschool.com. And tell me you heard it and what you think. And that's the God School for today.